Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together as we gather around the Word of God on this Easter morning. So first of all, I would like to say to you that happy Easter to you and to your family. And I love this thought for Easter Sunday morning. Christ has risen. And we respond, Christ has risen indeed, and we're going to celebrate that today. As we get started this morning, you tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. Some of you may tune in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Or Greenville, by the way, of WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Or maybe some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. Those of you that tuned in by the way of Sermon Cloud, and one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is by my website, which is pastorkenharger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll down to where you see it says Sermon Cloud, click on Sermon Cloud, and it takes you right to my storage place where I have about 30 messages all sitting there waiting to be listened, okay? Whatever way you tuned in, we're just so glad you did this morning, and we're just so happy for this Easter Sunday morning that God's richest blessing might be upon you and upon your family as well. Well, I need to say thank you to those that take care of the sponsors, my sponsors that I have that take care of the financial cost. So first of all, to Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and Gay is from the Greenville area. And then to Marie Rivard, she also is doing in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from the Greenville area. Doug and Noreen Lane family, they're from the Sheridan area. We appreciate their support as well. And Court Warner, Bremen Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44, the north side of the road, they do complete truck and auto repair and service. A thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. And we'll be sharing some messages of song with you. And she's always as willing to do that and does a good job for me as well. One more thing I need to tell you, so I'll give you an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church starting today, Sunday morning. Saturday night, our service is still always going to be 6:30 where it is right now. But Sunday morning, the early service has been moved to 9 o'clock instead of 8:15, so remember that. 9 o'clock. The contemporary service is at 10:45, and we have kids church for the contemporary service. They're all going to also going to start kids church at the 9 o'clock service, and over to Greenville campus at Old Faith Baptist Church, location on M57. They're moving from Saturday to Sunday morning at 10:30. So we're just making some time changes for this period of time, and we're looking forward to whatever service you'd like to attend to continue to be a blessing to you, and give you an invitation this Easter Sunday morning to come and join us at one of those services. So Shiloh, it's at 9 o'clock and 10:45, and then Greenville is 10:30. Okay, that takes care of all of that. As we get started this morning in our message, we're going to just take a look at the things that had happened ever since last week when we gathered together for Palm Sunday. Things through this week begin to take a change, and I want us to think about that change. So I'm going to spend a little time in the first part of the message talking about some of the things that happened that last week of Jesus' life, and then we'll move on into the message that we have for this morning of his great and powerful resurrection that he brought about. So let's get started. Meanwhile, in the garden, there's something taking place, and we want to listen to that that's taking place and ask the Lord to speak to our own hearts and to minister to us in a very special way. So we'll join this song, and then I'll be right back in just a few moments.
City of Jerusalem, roses were covered with dew. His friends had all come together, feeling afraid and confused. The last 3 days filled with sorrow, hours tears when often they cried. The last time they gathered together was at a tomb with the Lord sealed inside. They spoke of the joy and the pleasures, the treasures he brought to their soul. They spoke of the healings and the miracles, which now seem such a long time ago. They remembered the last time they saw him. He was lying in a cold, dark tomb. But meanwhile, in the garden at sunrise, victory had shattered the gloom. Meanwhile, in the garden, the tomb that he laid in was empty at the first light of day. And the only reminder of his presence were the grave clothes left where he lay. Meanwhile, in the garden, two angels were waiting for Mary to tell her the news. And the only one left crying today is Satan, defeated and bruised. Yes, the only one left crying today is Satan, defeated and bruised. Meanwhile, in the garden at sunrise, victory has shattered the gloom.
What a powerful song for us to get started with, to think about the blessings of God's powerful resurrection and what it brought about for each one of our lives. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for this time in history and days gone by when you'd worked out your plan and your Son, the Lord Jesus, gave his life upon that cross. But then it was Friday, but then Sunday was a-coming. And the Lord Jesus arose. I love it, Father, when you tell us in your word that he endured the cross, despising the shame, looking forward to the glory that was afterwards going to be revealed. And Father, I just pray you would minister to each one of us in a very special way today as we think about those last part of Jesus' life and then the power of the resurrection. And may we realize that Easter means we've got a fresh start. A brand new beginning. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in that beautiful name of Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. Well, that's what I want us to think about this morning. Christmas is a brand new beginning. It's a fresh start. I love the way that a day starts out fresh, brand new day for each and every one of us. I love it that God reminds us his mercies are new every single morning, and great is his faithfulness. But what we want to think about this Sunday morning is I believe the opportunity is ours because of a fresh start, because of all that Jesus went through that last week of his life. And Easter Sunday morning tells us there's a brand new beginning. In order to really get to appreciate that, we got to go back a little bit and talk about Easter being a brand new beginning. I believe it was a new beginning for Jesus and his relationship to mankind. I love the way it's recorded in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, 9 through 11. Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, because of that, because of who he is and what he's done, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name that is above every name. Now listen to what it says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what Jesus was thinking about, folks, of how it was going to bring a difference into each one of our lives as he was there dying upon that cross and all the pain that he had suffered there on Good Friday. It was Good Friday for you and I but it was a lot of pain for the Lord Jesus. I believe it was a new beginning for God the Father. For the first time, the first thing that the death, the burial, and the resurrection did to God the Father was satisfied his holiness. In Old Testament days, they brought a lamb and offered, and it covered their sins for that particular period of time. And then they would bring another one. But when Jesus was pointed out as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And when Jesus came, and when he did what he was going to, when he accomplished what he came to do, I believe God the Father was satisfied to say, now, all mankind, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your individual life has been like, I'm going to tell you that, and this is a verse that I like that records it, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is only one God, and there is only one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. I love that. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave the world at just the right time. The reason we can say that, and the reason the Word of God can say that, is because Jesus was born into this world at just the right time, and Jesus died his death upon the cross in just the right time, God's timing. There's many different names given to Jesus as the Lamb of God, is one I've already mentioned. He's called the Son of God. He's called the Messiah. He's called the bread of life. At Christmas time, we refer to Emmanuel, God with us. But the name of Jesus, he says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I got to tell you, that's a powerful thing, folks, for our life. It's powerful for us to get to know that this one Jesus has made a way. He's made a way for each and every one of us to have a fresh start, to have a brand new beginning. And it's demonstrated through what he was willing to go through in the last week of his life. But it's even greater demonstrated as a conclusion comes that he was resurrected. So let me just share a couple of things or so that I like to share with people that I've been sharing it on my Facebook this week, that last week of Jesus' life. You know, that Monday morning after God had given him a hug of the Palm Sunday, and people said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. You know, haven't you had some real good blessings, and then all of a sudden it's Monday morning. It's Monday morning. Now it means it's the time for us to be able to get started with the events of the day. And I think that's where we need to realize that's where Jesus was. You see, you can't always have the hosannas in your life. Sometimes it comes back down to the reality. It's Monday morning. When I think about Monday morning, Jesus arriving in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Jesus went into the temple court where he had looked around at everything since it was already late on that Palm Sunday. It tells us in the scripture that he and the 12 apostles went to Bethany, a little village at the foot of the Mount of Olives. Just a short journey that was there, and they spent Sunday night. And on Monday morning, as Jesus returned to Jerusalem, he was hungry. And he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He would have known that fig trees bear fruits twice a year. He expected to find some fruit on that fig tree, yet it was fruitless. Jesus cursed that tree. He said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." The disciples heard Jesus say that. That was Monday morning. As they're walking along the road and Jesus was going to get lunch, or a little bit of breakfast rather, so to speak, off in that fig tree. And then, you know, he entered into the temple courtyard and he began to throw out those who were buying and selling there in the courtyard. He overturned the money changers and tables and chairs and those that sold pigeons and all that stuff that they had been doing. I love it that as this week of Jesus' life, we will notice he was always teaching. Then he taught them, saying this, "The scripture says, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. But you've turned it into a gathering for the den of the place of thieves. One place he calls it a den of thieves. When the chief priests and the scribes heard him, they looked for a way to kill him. They were afraid of him because he amazed all the crowds with his teaching. And I want us to get a hold of that, that if Monday morning Jesus was busy teaching. But I kind of emphasize Monday morning being this way, that Monday morning was a day of disappointment. A day of disappointment. On Tuesday morning, the life begins just a little differently. The next day in the morning, as they were headed to Jerusalem, they came past that same fig tree that Jesus had cursed the day before, and it had withered up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and explained, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you caused, that you cursed yesterday, it's withered and has died." Once again, I love the fact that even though it was the last day of the week of Jesus' life, each day he's doing teaching, and he's still teaching his apostles, his disciples that are following him. He's teaching them about faith. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you really must believe it will happen. Have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you will receive it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will be able to forgive your sins too." I really love at the end of his teaching, he's saying, "You know what? Disciples don't hold a grudge." I was wondering about that. You know, the disciples, they haven't got it in their mind and heart yet that he's going to die. Don't have it in their mind and heart. And what Jesus is saying that for, I believe, is because of the reality on that Tuesday. It's just going to be a short time, and then they're going to crucify him. And Jesus wants the disciples not to just hold grudges, but to have faith. It had been so easy in Jesus' day for those disciples to hold a grudge against those that had crucified Christ. And he said, "I don't want you to do that. I want you to forgive." When he arrives at the temple Tuesday, he preaches preaches a time there asking questions and giving the answers to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It reminded me when I thought about that when Jesus was 12 years old. They came to the temple, and they had the Passover feast and so on, and Mary and Joseph thought Jesus was with somebody else. And when they got about a day's journey out, they found out Jesus wasn't with them. He stayed in the temple, 12 years old. Time they got back, and when they found him, there he was in the temple. He was asking questions of the religious leaders, and he was giving them answers. He was asking them questions, but he was giving them answers to their questions as well. They understood that, man, who is this guy? The authority of Jesus is demanded. And they said, these religious leaders say, "But what authority do you do these kinds of things? Who gave you this authority?" And Jesus silenced the group when he said, "John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from the earth?" They said, "If we say from heaven, he'll say, 'Why didn't you believe?' If we say it's from the earth," the people thought it was heaven. They said, "We can't give you an answer." And I love that Jesus said, "Neither can I give you an answer." That was a good silencer of those religious leaders of his day. By the way, one more thing that I really liked that happened. There was a widow that came into the temple, and she put in two very small coins. They really wouldn't have amounted to a whole lot. But Jesus noticed her, and then he said, "This woman has given more than anybody else has ever given." He knew she gave her all. I think Tuesday was a busy day in the life of Jesus. I want to share one more day with you, and then we'll just move on with the rest of it so we can come to the idea of the resurrection. But you can sure go to my Facebook page, Pastor Ken Harger, on the Facebook circle bar, and you can see the things that I shared last week. Wednesday was kind of a silent day, kind of a quiet day. When you think about it, Sunday morning, Sunday, rather, the Palm Sunday morning, all the things that had happened that day. Then you think about the busyness of Monday, the busyness of Tuesday, Wednesday, Jesus was in Bethany. And I think it was this anticipation of the Passover feast, which is going to take place on Thursday. Bethany was about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, and here Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, lived. Jesus had often stopped at Mary and Martha's house and stayed with them. I like the way Mark shares. Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man that had previously had leprosy. Jesus had healed him. While he was eating, a woman came with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume, made of all kinds of different smells. She broke it open, and the jar the container was in, and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Some of those at the table were indignant. They said, "Why wasn't this sold and the wages given to the poor? Why would you waste this like that?" And Jesus scolded them for treating her so harshly. And Jesus said, "She has done what she can do. Folks, you're always going to have the poor with you." Jesus said that over 2,000 years ago, and we always still have the poor with us. But Jesus said, "She's done what she could do." He said, "By the way, what that is, she's anointed my body for burial." That's the way Jesus looked at that. He knew he was going to die. He said, ahead of time, this dear woman has come and anointed my body for burial. And he said, you know what? Anywhere the gospel is preached, the good news about my death and burial and resurrection, any place the gospel is preached throughout the world, what this woman has done this day will be spoken of as well. And here I am 2,000 years later telling you about what that woman did. Jesus accepted her ministry. When I called Palm Sunday a hug from God the Father through a large crowd of people, when I think about this story, I think on Wednesday what has happened, a hug from God the Father by an individual expressing her love for Jesus. Because of the way Jesus took it, that she's anointed my body for burial. And because he said she's ministered to me with this, but any time the good news is told, she's going to minister to everyone else as well. The sad thing about Wednesday, sometimes it's called, there's a silent time for Jesus, not a whole lot going on. Resting there in Bethany with his best friend, so to speak. It's called a spy Wednesday. Because it's how sad. Meanwhile, Judas agrees to betray the Jesus that he had been walking with for 3 years. He's one of the 12 disciples. And he's gone to the leading priest, and he's rearranged to betray the Lord Jesus. He's promised for the money they're going to give him, that when he has opportunity, he'll turn Jesus over to them. You know, on Thursday was the Passover feast. And that's where Jesus introduced us to the New Testament, a new covenant in his blood. That's where he introduced the cup and the juice, and telling us the bread speaks of his body that is broken for us. The cup and the juice, or the wine and the juice, speaks of his blood that is shed for us. It was there at that supper that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It was there at that supper that Jesus knew that Judas, but he didn't let anybody else know. He just told Judas, "Go and do, and what you do, do it quickly." It was there at that supper that Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me, Peter, 3 times. And then, you know, when they got done having the supper, they sung a hymn. And after they got through singing the hymn, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then on Friday in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was arrested. And then they began their fake news we hear about today. They began their fake trial of Jesus. He was totally innocent, and yet he was put to death. They made him even carry his own cross up that hill, called Golgotha, Calvary. Even today, I had a funeral today, and even today that song was played, and it makes you remind yourself of that old rugged cross. That old rugged cross. And they crucified him. Two men that he had met came and begged the body to take it down from the cross. And one of them, by the name of Joseph, a very rich man, had hewed out a place for his final resting place in a big rock mountainside. And they prepared Jesus' body, just like the woman had come and anointed his body. They wrapped it in grave cloth. They laid him in the tomb. And all of a sudden, it seems as though Jesus was defeated. But may I say it again? It's Friday. But Sunday is a-coming. By the way, one of the things he did that last week, he said, destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again. They thought he was talking about the temple that they were standing in, and Jesus was talking about the temple, his body. I love it when Jesus said one time, as he was standing with the people, I have power to lay my life down. My Father has given me that power. But I have power to take my life up again. And it has to do with the power of resurrection, a fresh start, a new beginning. And it's a fresh start and a new beginning for you and I when we make a decision to make sure we're going to follow this one Jesus. I like what is given to us an idea about you and I saying the value of Jesus upon our lives. You know, there was a man standing at that cross. He was a centurion. And when he heard Jesus, and when he watched how he died, that centurion came to this truth. Remember I said at the beginning of time, every tongue shall confess? He stood there at that cross side and he said, truly, truly, this man was the Son of God. This man was the Son of God. Let's listen to a song. And this song's going to prepare our hearts for the time now. We're going to change from the last week of Jesus in our message today. We're going to change that over to the idea of it's Easter Sunday morning. Easter Sunday morning, and things are going to be a whole lot different because it's a brand new beginning. It's a fresh start. This one Jesus has been resurrected. And as a result of his resurrection, he can give to us, each one of us, a fresh start, a brand new beginning. Let's listen to the Easter song.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he is risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, alleluia. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing. You can be healed right now. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ, he will reveal it now. The angels, they all surround us, and they are ministering Jesus' power. It, but this could be your glorious hour. Joy to the world, he is risen. Hallelujah, he's risen. Hallelujah. tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy to the world, he has risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, he's risen. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Hallelujah, we say, Christ is risen, and Christ is risen again. On the way in, Hosanna, blessed is he that will one that cometh in the name of the Lord. On that first Easter morning, we come to that thought of, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Let me read it for you, how it was one of the things that happened on that day, given to us in the book of Matthew chapter 28. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, the angel rolled back the stone, and he sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come," the angel said, "see the place where he did lay." Christ is risen. The government had guards there to guard it, but the guards weren't able to guard too much. They made stories and told about how the disciples came and stole the body of Jesus. But they were like dead men when the angel was before them. I love it that God tells us there was an earthquake at the time of Jesus' death on the cross, and now there's an earthquake at the time of his resurrection. And that angel comes, and he even describes that angel and what he looks like as far as his clothing and the rest of it. And he describes for us that angel came, and it said he rolled the stone back. The women, as they were walking to the tombstone, to the place of the tomb, they had to bring it along some spices because they couldn't do it the day before, but now they can do it today. So they're bringing along some spices and probably some new grave cloth, and they're going to prepare him for the way that they did for burial for the Jewish people. But to their surprise, they were asking themselves as they were walking along the road, how are we ever going to be able to move that stone? That stone's a big stone. It's a big rock. But God, the Father, has things all ready. And the angel comes and rolls away the stone. I love it. It said the angel sat upon the stone. Okay, that's pretty scary business. The angel sitting upon the stone gives us the idea. This is all taken care of. The grave is open. Jesus is no longer there. Those guards ran away. But when the women came, I loved the message of the angel to the women. Do not be afraid. Every time anyone saw an angel, they was afraid, and I would be too, and so would you. I know, the angel says, you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. We're in the past tense now. He was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. And I love the way it said, just as he said. Remember I told you a few moments ago, Jesus said, I have power that I have received from my Father to lay down my life, and I have power to pick up my life. Jesus didn't roll the stone away. The angel rolled the stone away. I love the picture in another part of the scriptures where it tells us about the inside of that tomb. It tells us when the disciples went in and took a look, it tells us that the grave cloth was laying there on that slab of stone like the body had been laid. but they put a napkin on the face. And the Bible tells us that napkin was neatly folded and laying on a spot by itself. It's just like Jesus come out of that grave cloth. It's just like Jesus took that napkin and folded it and set it aside, giving us the idea it's finished. The resurrection has taken place. Jesus was not defeated. Jesus has accomplished the purpose that his Father had sent him to do. I love the angel sitting on the stone, and I love the angel. I love Jesus folding a napkin. Just like he's just doing what it was said he was going to do. And that's what the angel said. He's not here, he's risen. Just like he said he was going to. One other place, one of the other translations gives it like this. It says, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? He's not here. There's other tombstones in there. There's other people laying in those graves. But Jesus is resurrected. He's not here. That's a powerful message of that first Easter Sunday morning to those ladies. There's a couple of thoughts I want to share with you. Max Lucado, he's a writer that does a lot of good devotional writings. He wrote this: the stone was moved not for Jesus to get out, but the women so they could come in. Wasn't rolled away for Jesus to come out, but for the women to come in. So they could see the tomb is empty. You know, one of the things, if you and I want to have a fresh start, or we want to have a new beginning, it comes to this kind of an idea. What's your thoughts concerning the tomb? Is Jesus' body still laying somewhere there in Jerusalem area? Is Jesus really dead? Or is he alive? Did Jesus really come forth from that grave? I got to tell you, folks, those women are surely different than how they came to the tomb thinking they were going to anoint the body of Jesus, and how they left the tomb with the message to go tell the disciples, he is not here, he's risen. He's risen, go tell the good news. The guards went away with fear, and they made up all kinds of stories like dead men. But these women, when they heard the message of the angel, they went running to all the rest of the disciples and telling them that Christ is risen. The angel told us, and then they told what the angels told. You know, I believe the first step to a fresh start with God is believing that he was crucified dead, and now he's alive forevermore. Have you come to that point? Have you come to that place in your life? Whenever I do funerals, I ask the question, is that all there is to it, to be born, live, and die? Job asked the question a long time ago, many years before Jesus was born. If a man dies, does he live again? Does he live again? I've answered that for myself. You've got to answer that for yourself. It helps us to have a fresh start. When we come to that place and say, yes, I believe what Jesus said. Yes, I believe what Jesus came to do, that he did come to die. But he really came to be resurrected, sent into heaven with the promise one day he's coming back again. We have to make a decision. Is that what it really is about? Did that really take place in that way? A couple other verses that says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? The challenge was there. The empty tomb is the Christian's hope. The power of the resurrection gives us what we need to hang on to, even as we let go of our loved ones. The power of the resurrection, I think, even was demonstrated when those two thieves were dying with Jesus on the cross. The one cursed Jesus. The one said, if you say you are who you are, come down from the cross and get us down as well. But one of those thieves that were dying on the cross said to the man that said that, don't you fear God now that you're dying? And then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, that dying thief, even though he probably had very little religious training, he come to the place to believe there is life after death. There is life after death. Once again, going back to the funerals that I do as pastor, one of the things that I love to share is the idea that Jesus one day said, we're like a seed corn. We're just a seed. And you and I are just a seed unless that seed is buried in the ground. And so I use a corn to illustrate it. Just one seed of corn buried in the ground. And pretty soon that corn seed dies. We say it germinates, but it dies. And in the death of that corn seed comes new life. Pretty soon that corn stalk sticks its head out of the dirt below. One day you drive by and it's about 4 to 6 inches high. I often have said the corn, that farmer was a good planter of straight rows. One day you drive by and it's about the last week of June, the first week of July. And I always take a walk in the cornfield, and some of you have done the same, because it's going to be knee high by the 4th of July. And sometime later you drive by and it's 6 foot high. I've been asking people and nobody's ever tried to answer before me. How can one kernel of corn grow a stalk of corn that is 6 feet high? That's a miracle. Even Jesus drew our attention to that when he said, you know what? If you have faith like a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed there is. And yet it's able to grow a branch, so to speak, that even the birds can build a nest in. You see, you have to decide to get a fresh start from God. Do you really believe? Is there such a thing as Jesus' resurrection? Is he still dead in a tomb somewhere? Or did he rise like he said he did? Did he do what he said he was going to do, just like the angel said? He is resurrected, just like he said. Do you believe that? Have you received that? To have that kind of thought that this one Jesus, he was dead, but now he's alive. That's so important for us this Easter Sunday morning, if we want to have this new beginning. And I believe this new beginning comes with you and I recognize that we need to believe that. That Christ is no longer in the tomb, but he has been resurrected. I say it again, Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. That thief on the cross accepted that and responded to that, and that gives us the confidence that as well. Let me go back to the corn seed. It's now 6 foot high. One day I drive by and there's a tassel on top of that corn stalk. What in the world's that tassel about? A little while later I drive by that corn stalk and something's beginning to project itself out of one side of that stalk. Sometime later we drive by and now on the end of that little thing that was projecting itself out of that stalk, there's some silk. When I was a kid we called them whiskers. And I looked it up in a college in Washington, and it said that their tassel on the top goes to work with that whiskers or that silk that's on the ear of corn. And every one of those silks is hooked to an ear corn. And in God's timing and God's plan, they go to work. And all of a sudden, it's harvest time. And the farmer harvests the corn. He planted one seed. And all of a sudden, he's harvesting an ear of corn. According to that college in Washington, it said most every ear of corn has from 700 to 800 kernels. Do you realize, dear people, if that wouldn't have happened, we would have ran out of food a long time ago. The way I've been saying it for a lot of years now, it's life, death, life. Say that with me. Life, death, life. You know what I believe God's word teaches? I believe God's word teaches us that the life that is beyond this life is going to be, oh, so much better than anything you ever experienced in the best days on your life, of your life on planet Earth. It's going to be the whole ear of corn. You've heard the story before about the lady that said when she died, she wanted to have a fork laying on her chest because then somebody asked her, why did she want to have that? And the answer was that they would always say when she's at a dinner, keep your fork. Keep your fork. The best is yet to come. And I believe the best is yet to come. I believe not only is the best yet to come, but it gives us confidence for that fresh start. And it gives us confidence for that new beginning. To believe in this resurrection of Christ, that the best is yet to come in your life, even in your life here on planet Earth. Faith doesn't take us down. Faith lifts us up. A couple more things I want to share with you before we talk about the song that we have for closing. And that's the realization that sometimes there's things that happen in my life and your life that causes us to have basis for disbelief or unbelief. One day Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room, and Thomas wasn't there. Thomas missed that meeting. All of the disciples said, Thomas, we've seen Jesus today. And Thomas said, I will not believe unless I can see the nail prints in his hands. Unless I can thrust my hand into his side where he was wounded, I will not believe. Maybe somebody didn't hear my voice. That's where you're at this morning. I will not believe. You know something, folks? About a week later, Jesus and the disciples are all together, and this time Thomas is there. Jesus appeared into their presence. And Jesus said, Thomas, man, I believe Thomas's heart must have beat very strong. And Thomas, take your finger and put it into my hand. Take your hand and thrust it into my side. Thomas, don't be a doubting. Don't be unbelieving. You've heard it, doubting Thomas. Thomas, believe. And I don't even believe Thomas ever did that, what he said he needed to do in order to believe. He just got down before Jesus and he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, blessed are you because you see and believe. But Thomas, listen, more blessed are they that do not see and yet they believe. That's you and I. I can't put my hands into the nail scars of Jesus. My fingers into his nail prints. I can't put my hand into his side. But Jesus said, you're blessed because you know the things that are part of your life. I need to say thank you to those that take care of me financially for our broadcast time. I want us to close with a song that simply reminds us of the truth that I've been talking about this morning. Is we need to believe. The new beginning. Don't be like Thomas in doubt. If you are doubting, just admit, Jesus, you are who you say you are. I believe in the resurrection. This song says, he's alive, he's alive. and things may not be the way I thought it was going to be. It didn't turn out the way the disciples thought it was going to turn out, but he is alive. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
The gates and doors are barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. So we both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone, an empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I